chapter 18, we're going to pick up in verse 19. This morning we began to look at the first illegal trial of our Lord before Annas, the former high priest, who evidently had more pull than the current high priest. We can take that and run with it a little bit, but I'm not. And all of these trials were illegal. The first three were by the Jewish leaders, trying to expedite killing Jesus. And we looked at the first part of the trial this morning, illegal. It was at night. It was at the high priest's home. That shouldn't have happened. No charges. They were just trying to find something, preliminary hearing, to kind of dig and see what they can get. It's not till Caiaphas' trial that they dream. They have false witnesses that perjured themselves. They couldn't get together on their witness against Christ. But here, we began this morning to look at the first part of the trial in verses 12 through 18. And we also saw in verses 15 through 18, Peter's first denial of our Lord. And there was a passage I wanted to take you to. Some of you can be looking it up and let me know at the end of the message what it is. It's where Jesus said, Satan has desired to sift you, and I pray for you that your faith will not fail, and when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. If somebody can look that up for me, I appreciate it. If you got some of you with Google or Bible app, look that up, because I wanted to share that at the end of the message. So if you don't have that for me at the end, it's your fault. So you get that ready, okay? But let's look at the second part of the first trial before Annas, the high priest. And we're going to pick up in verse 19. We're going to see a question here by the high priest. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. In other words, the high priest was fishing. He was digging, trying to find something. They wanted to accuse Jesus of scheming and being rebellious, subversive to Rome, and they were trying to find out something that maybe he and the disciples had done. And he asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Now, Jesus gives the answer in verse 20 and 21. Now, let's look at it. We're going to kind of go verse by verse, because that's what you do when you don't have your notes. So let's look in verse 20. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews also resort, and in secret have I said nothing. In other words, I've been open with this. I've been sharing the gospel plainly, telling people who I am and what I'm about. I've hid nothing. But then in verse 21 is an interesting question. He says, why askest thou me? Now notice what Jesus said, ask them which heard me. Wow. What have I said unto them? Behold, they know what I have said. Now, I want to pause right there and ask you a question. Would you be able to repeat to the world what you hear on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? He said, ask them. They've heard me. You know, would you be able to share the gospel with other people? Would you be able to repeat the teachings of our Lord out there in the world? Ask them. They heard me, right? And so that's an interesting question here. Ask them, they heard me. What a condemnation if they were not able to answer that question to a lost world. I was thinking last couple of days about the events in the world, and I was thinking about, I don't watch The View. It's a godless show by a bunch of talking heads that, not necessarily women, but talking heads that don't know nothing about nothing. They don't have a biblical perspective on nothing. But I had heard that they were blaspheming our Christianity by saying that Pence, and don't misunderstand me today, but folks, you think they hate Trump? If something ever happens to Trump, they're going to hate Pence even worse, because he's a Christian, okay? And so Pence had said something about he talks to the Lord. You know, of course, we know we talk to the Lord in prayer. We read his Bible. He talks back to us through his Spirit, you know. And we know all that, okay? But they began to say, wow, you know, I forgot the lady's name, Bear or whoever it is. I care not to know her name. But she said something about, I can understand somebody talking to Jesus, but say that Jesus talks back to him. She said that's a mental illness. And that's what they think of us, okay? But what surprised me was not that she said that. We can expect the ungodly world to say that, okay? But what surprised me is how Christians reacted to it. Like, hey, you do not know that they don't love you. They hate you because they hated him first, right? So we should not be surprised by anything the world says about Christ or says about us. Am I not right? Right? So why are we acting like it's such a weird thing? I mean, they are going to blaspheme Christ. They are going to blaspheme us. I mean, we can expect it. So as I was thinking about that, I mean, it doesn't concern me so much about the world's response to all this because they're lost. What concerns me is the church's response to it, you know? We don't respond biblically to these things. You know, we can't expect nothing else from them. They're godless. They don't know God. They don't know Christ, okay? And so, but the thing to do, I understand there was one panelist on The View, and I don't know this for sure. Somebody said that she was a Christian, and they might have been talking about John McCain's daughter, you know? And she's left Fox and went over there to the dark side. And I don't know if she's a Christian or not, but that would have been great. If she was a Christian, that was a great opportunity for her to speak up and not say, don't blaspheme our Lord or Christianity, but to tell them about prayer and how it works, you know, rather than just saying, oh, they're evil, you know, but give a biblical response to them. Yes, we believe this book is God's word, and God speaks to his church and to his people through his word, and we read it, and he speaks back to us through his spirit and through prayer, and, you know, just what a great time to respond biblically rather than saying, oh, guess what, they're bashing Pence and they're bashing Christians, right? Y'all get my drift, my heart. I mean, that's how I always look at these things. You know, I can expect anything from the world, but we as Christians ought to be ready to defend what we believe, right? And so I don't know if McCain's daughter is a Christian or not. I have no idea, but some of them say she is, but she failed to speak up. Okay? Now let's go a little further. Good point, brother. Yeah, it's all right for Oprah to do it, right? She like what? Okay, moving right along. I've heard that. Okay, but also too, Rex brings up a good point. If it had been Islam, or Hare Krishna, or whoever these jokers are, or if it had been whoever, Buddha, they said, yeah, that's okay, you know. But to have Christ speak back to you, you know, it's because they hate Christ, right? And that was a good point. I heard that on the news that, I hope she does run, because Trump will be there another 4 years. But anyway, getting off of politics, look in verse 22 and 24, we see the embarrassment going on here. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood, by the way, if that's true, Rex, she's not a Christian. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just said, I don't doubt you, but if that's true, she's not, right? And there again is another issue. Christians need to speak up. No practicing homosexual will enter the kingdom of God, right? But there are some that repent of their sin, and they will enter, right? Now, going right along, verse 22, look at the embarrassment. And when they had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? In other words, he thought he was being disrespectful to the high priest. And this was another illegality right here. No prisoner that has not been accused of a crime can be struck, you know. So they violated that. Okay, and Jesus answered and said, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? Now, so we see the embarrassment here. The soldier thought he had embarrassed the ex-high priest, and so he struck Jesus, which was illegal. And Jesus said, if I said what's true, why are you speaking? Why are you smiting me in this case? So now notice verse 25. Without notes, boy, we're liable to be out of here before Andrew Griffith comes on, right? But look in verse 24. And Annas had sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now, John doesn't deal with the trial before Caiaphas. Matthew does. And that's what we're going to look at next week, the second trial in Matthew 26, 59 through 75, I believe. And we'll see that when he's really actually, they tighten the screws to condemn him and to kill him. But now we get another glimpse here, not only the first denial of Peter, but in verse 25 through 27, we see Peter's second and third denial of our Lord. And let me stop here and ask you, has somebody looked up that passage for me? Okay. But look in verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Here again, you know, he's standing there warming by hobnobbing with the world, right? The ones that hated Jesus and took him in the garden. They said, therefore unto him, art not thou the one on one of his disciples? And he denied it and said, I am not. So this is the second denial of Peter. And one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman whose ear Peter cut off, of course, we know, I can't remember if it's from one of the other gospel writers or it's from history, but the person of, whose ear was cut off was a man named Malchus, okay? So this guy was kin to Malchus, standing by there, and he said, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again. That's the third denial. And immediately the cock crew. You know what Jesus had said what earlier? Oh, you're so bold, Peter. You're going to go with me. You're going to fight with me. But you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. And that's just what happened, right? And it's interesting here. John doesn't mention it. One of the other, I think it might be Luke or somebody, mentions at that point when that cock crowed, I'll say crowed instead of crew, but when that cock crowed, Jesus looked at Peter and Peter looked at Jesus. Boy, howdy. What a condemnation, right? And it brought to Peter's remembrance what the Lord said. But praise God for John, the latter chapter of John. The Lord restored Peter. He didn't save him again. He restored him into his fellowship and his walk with the Lord, right? Now, Brother Larry, what was that passage in Luke, wasn't it? Luke 22:31. Okay. Okay, everybody turn to Luke 22:31. Everybody there? And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, now you're reverting to his old name because he reverted to his old ways. He says, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, or to sift you, okay, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, here's interesting. We're reminded about Job, right? Satan wanted to get a hold of Job, and God allowed it for divine purposes. So here we see again the same thing. Satan has desired. See, devil can't do anything to us unless God allows him to do it. Okay? Are you following me? Just read the text. That's what it says. Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Now, interesting here, Satan's desire was to sift Peter, but God's desire was that he would be better because of it. He would burn the dross off in his life because it's the same Peter that later would quote and say, talking about Christ, how they reviled him and he said nothing. Right? So it's a new Peter that wrote the book of Peter. Y'all see that? Satan hath desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And God allowed it for a divine purpose. Now, what is that divine purpose? Verse 32. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. See, Peter never destroyed his faith. His faith was never shipwrecked. He was like all of us. We're not perfect, and we do fall. We do fail, our Lord. But he never lost his salvation. Notice what it says here. He says in verse 32, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now, let me ask you again. This is simple. If Jesus prays for us, he prays in the will of the Father, and don't you know it's going to be accomplished, right? Now, what if Jesus prayed that he would lose his faith? Prayed that he would not lose his faith, and he lost it. Now, how can we depend on him saving us, right? Now, follow me. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, in other words, when you're turned, not conversion salvation here, but when you're turned back into fellowship with me, desiring repentance and coming back to me and a walk with me, and when thou art converted, what? Strengthen thy brethren. Notice that. Strengthen thy brethren, which means that he was a brethren himself. Okay? You got that? Okay, that's a wonderful passage. Thank you for looking that up for me, Brother Larry. I remember the verse, but I couldn't remember the book and exactly where it was at, and I appreciate that. And so this is the first trial of Jesus before Annas, the former high priest. Now, things are going to really get serious next week. We're going to do it next Sunday night. But, Chevy, you still come on Sunday morning. But we're going to do it on Sunday night, okay? And we're going to look at Caiaphas in Matthew 26, 59 through 75, I believe it is, okay? I think I like y'all getting participation here and me preaching without notes, right? All right. So you be studied up yourself, right? Because I may call on you, right? If I lose my mind and don't bring my notes with me no more, okay? All right. No invitation tonight. We're just going to be dismissed. And by the way, let me go ahead and tell you that we're not going to have conference next Sunday. There's some more discussion we need to make on that issue, okay?